BBC Sounds. Music, radio, podcasts.
Women's Football Weekly with Ben Haynes and Ellen White.
On the Football Daily Podcast.
Hello everyone, welcome along to the Women's Football Weekly. After an exciting weekend of FA Cup action, we know that there will be a first-time winner of the FA Cup. Spurs and Man United making it to the final at Wembley. With me, as always, to go through all of it, Ellen White, how are you?
I'm very well, how are you?
Yeah, really good. How was Lee Sports Village? Man United, Chelsea on Sunday?
Oh, it was really good. Such a good game. And like you just said, it's amazing to see two teams that have never won it in the FA Cup final. It was the atmosphere. That final whistle was incredible. What about yourself? Obviously, you were at Leicester Tottenham.
Yeah, it's the same. The atmosphere at the full-time whistle, there was this real sense in the stadium, at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, of, oh, wow, this is a real moment. This is something special. This is something different. I think that's really crucial for the women's game, considering that for so long there's been quite a lot of dominance by a few sides. It's great to see two sides that you perhaps not used to seeing in all of the finals. We're going to speak more about this in a bit. There is obviously some huge breaking news come out as well, that England's record goal scorer will be getting the boots back on for Soccer Aid.
Oh gosh, I'm absolutely terrified.
How's the training going? So this, I'm going to let people in behind the curtain a little bit here. So I actually knew a few weeks ago, and I've been bursting to talk to you about this on the pod. Have you started your one-on-one coaching to get back to fitness yet?
Oh gosh, yes, I have.
Yes, that's the competitor we know.
I've done two football sessions, and I was terrified. I was thinking, I haven't kicked a ball. I'm not going to lie, I haven't kicked a ball since the Euro final. And obviously, yeah. And I've had my daughter. So I'm not blaming Maeve for this. It's all your fault.
No, you're done, Maeve.
So yeah, I went out. I've got an amazing coach who's helping me. She's putting on sessions for me, and I just thought, oh my gosh, I'm going to be so bad. And actually, I was okay. It's just fitness levels, and wowzers, I could not move for a few days after.
Oh no.
But it's really fun, and yeah, obviously it's an absolute honour to be part of Soccer Aid, supporting UNICEF, what they do, the amount of money they've raised. I'm really excited, but absolutely terrified.
I am going to keep boring the life out of you for the next 2 months as well, just sending you limited edition football boots that I think you should wear for it. So sad. So tragic.
I just don't want to fall over.
So, no, you won't. You'll be back in. You'll be scoring a hat-trick, I'm sure.
That'd be nice.
Let's bring focus back to those FA Cup semi-finals. Man United through against Chelsea. But let's start with the Spurs into the FA Cup final for the first time. It took extra time to break down Leicester, but they got there in the end. The 118th minute winner from striker Martha Thomas, who I'm delighted to say joins us now. And I say striker Martha Thomas. Should we be saying right back Martha Thomas after the shift that you put in?
Yeah, do you know what? I think I played everywhere but striker in that game. But, you know, it was funny when Ashley came back on, me and Beth were sort of playing both as a right back, and she was maybe a bit more right wing, and Ashley Neville came back on and we were like, you stay up top, we've got this. Because she was cramping so bad. But it was good.
What's the thing that you take away from the other day, the kind of like lasting memory that you have in your head?
I'm not one to get super emotional on the pitch, but I just felt so proud of everyone. You could just see, you know, what it meant to all of the players and all of the staff, and to have the fans there celebrating with us. So I felt an immense amount of pride. Everyone was just absolute ear to ear. So it was just a really special moment.
Yeah, and two very different goals, two equally important goals. Let's talk through Jess Naz's finish first. As a striker yourself, you must have appreciated that one.
She's great with both feet, but to put it on her right foot the way she did, where she probably feels more comfortable and, you know, take that touch across the defender, but also gamble on the ball late on in the game like that. Like, some people would have just given up on it and not followed through, and it's a good thing she did, because the defender made a little mistake and then she was through on goal, and the finish was just so calm. And that just sums Jess up. She's such a cool and level-headed person, and she's not even going nuts during a celebration. Like, you know, it's just like, you are the coolest person in this place right now. And yeah, it was a great finish.
And what about you? Did you feel like the goal was coming for you? And obviously, I like the celebration. Talk us through that atmosphere as well when that goal went in.
If you're looking at the end of the game, you know, coming like the 93rd minute, we had like three chances where it just felt like one of these was going to go in. And unfortunately, the final whistle blew and we didn't get completely over the line, but we had the momentum going into the extra time. And, you know, they did have a good chance in the first half of a free kick, but it still just felt like this was going to be ours. And I think a lot of us wanted to get over the line before penalties just because we didn't want to leave it up to penalties. We wanted to take the game into our own hands. And yeah, I feel like we were knocking on the door and we could feel that momentum from the crowd and the players. And, you know, we were all really feeling like we were going to score.
On a personal level, did you have that fire in your belly after the chance in kind of like the 90th minute where Lisa Kopp makes this unbelievable save? Ball kind of squirms wide of the post. That must have been sort of in the back of your mind as well.
I've watched that chance back and I remember at the time feeling quite annoyed because I'm just leaning so far back that I just tried to get a toe on it. And it was a fabulous save, but I was a bit frustrated that I didn't put more behind it. But again, it was just another chance. And, you know, I think we had a couple of headers and then Charlie Grant had a chance at the back post. And we just really felt like we were knocking on the door and getting so close. So for my chance to go in, you know, when that ball came up in the air off Luana flicking on, I just felt like I need to get in front of this defender and get something on it.
And for you as well, playing at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium again, obviously you've got some good memories there. What's it like for you personally, but then also the team playing at the stadium?
It's big for us. We love playing there. We hear the crowd and it's so nice to have that home advantage. We are the kind of team that want to play on really nice pitches because of the sometimes a bit riskier football that we want to play. We want the surface to be, you know, in our favour. So we love playing on it. It was just an all-round great experience to be on the pitch.
Also, a lot easier to do the power slide on your knees on a nicer pitch, right? Ellen mentioned your celebration before. You don't want to risk doing that on a muddy one.
On a dodgy pitch, no. It wasn't the best knee slide. I think halfway through, I probably thought the physios are going to kill me for this because I've just come back from injury. I probably should not be doing this. So I sort of just tried to slide on my bum last second.
It is kind of cool that you've had these moments for you individually. I know that the team absolutely shares in this, but for you as an individual to have two moments like you've had this season, winning for the first time ever in a North London derby and scoring that goal, and then the goal that gets Spurs to Wembley in the FA Cup final for the first time, it's quite a special thing.
Yeah, and it does feel special. And I think just because we feel like we're a bit of an underdog in these games, and maybe not in necessarily playing against Leicester, but it just sort of feels that, you know, beginning of the season, no one would have expected Tottenham Hotspur to make it to the FA Cup final, and no one would have expected us to finish as high on the table as we have and do as well as we're doing. So it sort of just feels like that. And I think I've always felt like a bit like an underdog player. So for me, it just felt like the perfect fit. And I just feel like it suits me, that kind of, I don't know, environment, and it gives me that drive.
Sorry to sort of bring you down a tiny bit. There's a couple of little asterisks here. Grace Clinton, how much do you feel for her? Her parent club, Man United, means that she won't play in the FA Cup final and has played such a huge part in helping getting Spurs there.
It's gutting for her. And it's something that, you know, she knew before going into the game that there was a chance that, you know, if we won and United won, that we would play each other. And that would mean she wasn't able to play. So there's, of course, a little bit of disappointment and we're all gutted for her. And she has such a big impact. So we're also gutted for us as well, because, you know, she's done so well for us this season. But we know she'll be behind us. And we know that we're still such a solid team with such good players and that we'll still be able to get over the line on the day.
What do you expect from Man United, obviously, coming up against your former club as well? Is that a little bit of spice, or you obviously don't need extra motivation going to a final anyway?
Personally, it'll give me a bit more, but, you know, I know United will be hungry for it, being in the final last season and missing out to Chelsea. And I'm sure that game on the weekend for them felt a bit like a final because they're playing against the team that just won it and the team they'd lost to. So I know that they'll be up for it, and it's their chance to get, you know, their first silverware, but we feel the same. And we've got, you know, players in our squad that have won the competition and have played in the competition before, so we've got experience there, and we'll be leaning on them for that. And I just feel like, again, it's just such a good opportunity for us to, you know, show people what Tottenham are about.
Have you allowed yourself to dream a little bit yet?
Yeah, it's finding the balance between it, because obviously it was such a high to win on Sunday, but come back down because it's 5 days and we're playing Man United again. So it's back, focus is back to the league for a few weeks now before the final. So it's one of those things where you like to ride the highs, but I always say you've just got to stay level-headed, because if you enjoy the highs too much, you sort of drown yourself in the lows. So just trying to stay as calm as possible.
Well, look, congratulations again. And I think you very much earned the right to watch back that goal as many times as you like, history maker. Yeah, well done. And good luck in the final as well.
Thank you. Appreciate it, guys.
Martha Thomas there, who scored the winning goal for Spurs to get them through to the FA Cup final. Take me into the other semi-final then. So a really good win for Man United over Chelsea. What was the atmosphere like?
Atmosphere was amazing. Do you know what? I've spoken probably not in the best maybe light, Manchester United. I feel like they've been quite inconsistent this season. I was there at Stamford Bridge when they lost 3-1 to Chelsea. But this Manchester United team flew out the blocks. He made a few tweaks and a few changes, Rachel Williams and Leah Galton starting, and they just put so much pressure. Well, it was 41 seconds when the first goal went in. The amount of pressure, the energy, the enthusiasm, the competitiveness, bodies on the line, the defending, the discipline. It was just a completely different Manchester United than I've seen this season, and what a day to turn up, to be honest.
Some good news, though, for Chelsea fans. We're now joined by another special guest host, Millie Bright, who's been back out on the pitch for the first time with the team today.
I have indeed. I have.
Congratulations. How was that?
Yeah, it was amazing. I've actually done really well to stay this patient, but yeah, I think you just get into a different zone just to be out there screaming at players again. And, you know, it's yeah, it was just nice to be back on the grass and back with the team. I think injury is probably the hardest thing. You feel so distant from everyone. Even as hard as you try to stay connected, you do feel like a bit of an outsider. So, yeah, it was just so nice to get back with the girls and just enjoy being, you know, doing what you love doing, which is football. So, yeah, it was a very good day today.
There's only so long you can be in that role as mischief maker in chief behind the dugout as you and sort of Sam Kerr seem to be.
I know. I feel like the cameras immediately go on Sam and then I was like nudging her like, we're on. And then I was like, oh, sod it. We'll just have a little dance at Stamford Bridge on camera while Arsenal sort the socks out and, yeah, we can get ready for the game.
Can you take us
DJ in... was player of the match that day for me, player of the match. He did an awesome job.
Can you take us into how tough it's been to watch on the sideline, particularly with the Conti Cup and then the FA Cup games? Because it must be really frustrating for you as someone who wants to be out there helping the team, seeing the team in these really, really difficult occasions coming out on the wrong side of big games.
Yeah, honestly, it's awful. Like, you just feel helpless. Like, I'd say I'm quite a loud figure, and I think Elle's can back me up on that, is, you know, in terms of organising, if things aren't going right, you need to make adjustments. And just from an energy perspective, like, when you're trying to change momentum in a game, like, those voices are so important, and they can really sway, like, people getting out of a bit of a, like, head fog and getting back into the game. Like, for me, that's so important. But you just feel helpless, like you can only do so much from the side. Like, I'm present every day and making sure the girls are in a good space. Like, I don't think I've had like a down day coming in. Like, I think I've always been bubbly, always, even if I felt it, it's so important for the team to see that, you know, the injured players are behind them and backing them. And I've tried to be the best cheerleader I can possibly be. But even at the games, I feel like I'm in the games, but I'm not contributing, and I can't influence, I can't help the team when they're struggling, I can't. So it's like hard, it's like you're battling against something that's impossible to win. For me, I've just had to do everything I can do off the pitch whilst trying to actually come back from an injury that's, you know, was from before the World Cup. And yeah, I'm still adjusting to that. So it's been hard, especially from a leadership side, like not feeling like I can help anyone.
It's mentally challenging, isn't it, when you're having to come in and, like you say, bubbly when you're having like, right, I've got rehab, everyone's going out on the pitch, I'm coming to games, but I'm not actually standing on the pitch.
Yeah,
it's quite is there anything that you've done away from it to kind of then recharge yourself, maybe mentally, to be like, right, when I come in, I am Millie, I'm bubbling, I'm everything?
I think I've probably drove my agent insane by having to say no to a million things. But for me, like, my priority, especially when, even when I'm playing, Els, you know me inside and out, but even being injured, it was even more important for me to be like, literally rehab, go home, walk the dogs, that's it. Some days I didn't even walk the dogs because it was more beneficial for me to come in fresher the next day. And if I could gain small percentages to make sure my return was a little bit quicker or whatever it might be, like, that's honestly all my focus has been. Like, I've literally had to say no, no, no. Like, even going back home and seeing family, I've not been back to Sheffield yet. I've made like family come and see me. So just all the small percentages is probably where I've made sure that I can look back and go, regardless of when I return, like I've done everything I possibly can do to not only make sure that in my rehab I'm in the best shape, but also for the team. But like I said, it's extremely difficult these days when, you know, you just want to scream and I just want to like just run to like get rid of my anger or my frustration. And, you know, rehab's not the easiest of things. It doesn't always go the way we want it to go. And then it's like resetting that mentality, like, okay, back to this stage, and then we build again. And but the goal never changes. So the off-pitch stuff for me was all about rehab and doing things at home that just help. And it honestly was just Levi and the dogs, like just having his support as well has been absolutely crucial to keeping me sane, really, if I'm going to be brutally honest.
You mentioned earlier on that you're coming to, essentially you're coming into work and you have to come in with a smile on your face. But when in your mind you're thinking, oh my God, I literally just want to scream, but your face has to say, right guys, I'm here for you, even though I'm not able to do the thing that I want to the most. How hard is that?
I think that's been my hardest thing. And to be honest, some days I have come in and I've just said to the guys, like, I'm just letting you know, today's not a good day. I'm in an angry headspace. I want to rip the walls down. Like, I want to be further on than what I am. And, you know, I think you almost start questioning everything as well. Like, am I doing everything? And then, to be honest, my off-feet conditioning is like boxing, the ropes, the ski erg and stuff like that. And I've honestly used those sessions as just as a little, just like clear all the anger out and then refocus and get set for my rehab. But yeah, it's been really hard, like finding the balance of how much I give to the team and how much I still am, you know, in rehab and trying to get back. Because also going to the games is draining. I'm watching the games as if I'm playing, like I'm cheering, I'm shouting. No one can hear me, but I'm still doing the things that I would do if I was on the pitch. So mentally, like adrenaline wise, I'm basically playing a game in my head. So the next day I'm then a little bit tired, to be honest, but I wouldn't do it any other way because I don't want to look back and think, as an injured player, I just stepped aside. Like if the team lose, I still lose. Like I don't just not lose because I'm not playing. So my mentality is like very, very much the same as if I was in the squad and taking part. And honestly, I just can't change that. Like I'm just, yeah, I just can't, I can't do it any other way.
Mill, I think it takes a special person to be in the monks of like rehab and mentally be so challenging, but then to be like, right, the team comes first. I know you've probably been in a team. I've been in a team where that hasn't happened. So I think for you, it, like credit to you, and I'm sure the team do appreciate that you're coming in and putting them first, even though obviously you're putting your rehab first at the same time. Team is the one. Who in that team is helping you as well that you can go to talk to, or staff for your rehab and mentality as well?
Thanks, Els. That was a nice little comment. Obviously, I think my closest friends, like Sam, like she's going through her ACL rehab and she still has the time to check in. I think it's credit to, like you said, the people that we are. But I think all the team are always checking in. But I also don't want people to check in because then I'm like, no, you've got a game, like focus on the game. Like don't. I think that's why I've tried to act as if I'm still in the squad almost, because then people don't ask as much. And yeah, I don't know if that's good or bad, but I don't want to take away from the team's focus and, or like, when are you back? Like, I'll be back when I'm back. Like, you've got a job to do and just keep focusing on that. But obviously, yeah, like support from outside of football has been, you know, immense. All the coaches, incredible anyway. And obviously I have a great relationship with Emma. I've really stayed focused on like different tasks. So this year, obviously we've lost some big leaders and, you know, Erin and Neve have done a fantastic job of, you know, taking that on. And I think still like inexperienced players, like young players, and it's a hard job. And I don't think people appreciate how hard leading is until you're put in that position. And for them at their age to, you know, grab a hold of the team and really drive them through this season has been, you know, they're incredible people and they are the real leaders in the team.
You just stole my question, actually. I was going to ask about Neve Charles and Erin Cuthbert. So, I was just thinking, because obviously their role has obviously changed to be more of a leader, and they've constantly been switching, haven't they? But who's captaining who, and switching it from half time as well. I just wondered what those kind of, obviously you don't have to go in depth, but what kind of those conversations are you having? Because I know you are such a kind of vocal leader and you want to help and you want to be part of it and obviously wanted to help the team improve. And obviously you've had to kind of take a little bit of a step back, obviously, with rehab. But what I've seen from afar, they've seemed to be doing an amazing job and galvanising the group, especially with some of the disappointment you've had in the last couple of games.
For those two, like I just said to him, like, embrace the leader that you are. I've always said this, like, no leader is the same as the next. Like, everyone is a leader for different reasons, and no one should ever be put under the same umbrella. Like, oh, you have to do this. Like I said, embrace the leader that you are, which for me, you know, they're very much action led. Like, they'll set the tone every single day. They'll set the tone in the game. You know, I think Erin's had a fantastic season in her performances, and same with me. But for me, they show up every single day. And then it's just adding the kind of vocal side to their game. So whether that's, you know, if something's not going well, they're then, you know, grabbing a hold of it before the end of the game. And I think that's the next step for both of them. But I think they've really helped each other as well on the pitch. And like you said, almost taking it in turns and taking the load, because, you know, leading is not just what's on the pitch, but it's off it as well. And I think this year, especially for us as a group, we've experienced so much that I think people have really stepped up. And yeah, so I've just supported them in any way I can. And whether that's a reflection on the game and is there anything that they could have done better? And most of the time it's when things aren't going well, like, can we get the group together? Can we, you know, speak up in those moments? And I mean, I've been present in the meetings, especially the reflection ones, to, yeah, kind of add that outside opinion a little bit and just guide the conversations.
How have those reflective meetings been, I guess, particularly over the last few weeks? As Ellen was saying before, just before you came on, you have the Conti Cup and then what must be quite a frustrating break then, when you want to just try and put things right and then you come back straight into the FA Cup. What have those meetings afterwards been like?
I think just very honest. I think obviously we're out of two competitions, which is absolutely gutting. I think it's a reality check of how quick football can change. I think that's our biggest learnings. Like, 1 minute you're talking about the quadruple and it being the best season ever, and then all of a sudden, well, we're only competing for two trophies now. So you really do, one, have to swiftly move on because the next game's right around the corner, and secondly, you need to take learnings from it. The Connacht Cup's probably hard to take because the girls had a tremendous game, and for me, it was a 50-50 game. It really could have gone either way, and it was all going to come down to one moment for either team. Whereas I think we were definitely more disappointed with the FA Cup because the manner in which we lost, and I think by our standards, you know, on and off the ball was definitely not, you know, our best. And yes, we still had chances, but you, at this level now, you just can't go 2-0 down that quickly. And it was more about what went wrong and what needs to be better. And collectively as a group with so many changes, how do we kind of bounce back? But yeah, the mentality of this group has never been any different. It's always to be better the next training session, get the group back together, keep it positive. Yeah, we're out of two, but actually we're still fighting for two massive trophies. So there really is no time to dwell, especially, you know, straight after a loss, you've got a game 3 days later.
Is that the conversations then going into the big game against Barcelona then? Reflect, we put it to bed, we're going for this one now.
Yeah, for sure. And I think any game, any opponent that we play, I think we've never underestimated anyone. So midweek game against Villa, fighting for the title, you know, it's every game is a must-win game. And really every game is a cup final now with how tight the league is, for one. And then, like you said, swiftly followed by Champions League game against, you know, a top, top team. But I think we have to keep believing in what we're good at. And, you know, when we're at our best, we're bloody hard to beat. And we've got some incredible players that can, you know, go on and put the ball in the back of the net, and, you know, we can harm them. There is no room for slip-ups, and you do get punished. And just on the growth of the game as well, it's so much harder to score a goal, let alone, like, win.
Particularly with someone like Mary Earps in goal, right?
Oh, yeah, she had the game of her life. So, yeah, thanks, Mare. No, she had, honestly, a fantastic saves, but I think we all know that Mary's got that capability. She's proved it time and time again, and, you know, maybe on another day those go in. But I think United defended with the heart and soul as well. So, you know, credit where credit's due. But, yeah, good, but we move on.
Yeah, it's one of those things, I guess, that once the dust settles, sort of almost on some level, you're like, that's my teammate with the Lionesses. You kind of got to appreciate her quality, right?
Oh, yeah. There's so much talent, you know, on different days, you know, other talents step up and, you know, show their, you know, what they're made of and what they're capable of. But it's football. Listen, it's the ugly side of football, which no one wants to experience.
Women's Football Weekly with Ben Haynes and Ellen White
on the Football Daily Podcast.
Talking about lionesses, Mel. Rach Daly, retirement. Devastated.
Yeah, I lost half of me. Like, half of me's gone. So, yeah, it's really hard. I mean, me and Rach have had these conversations for a long time. So I think more so than anyone, I knew it was coming. But even though you know something's coming, it's still hard to take. But I think the biggest thing is everyone was so shocked because, you know, she has so much to give still. But as we know, football is more than just the physical side. It's the mental side as well. And, you know, we had many conversations and she was probably asking for advice. And I can't give her that advice because I said it needs to be your decision. And it needs to be something that you believe in that is right for you and something that you're ready to do. Like, I could be selfish and say, stay another year. Like, you know what I mean? Fight for the Euros. But that would be selfish and I would never do that for the benefit of myself at the cost of someone else's physical and mental health. So, listen, she's happy in her decision. And I think that's how I know it's the right decision because she's absolutely gutted, but she's at peace with it. And I think that's when you know it is the best decision for her as an individual.
You mentioned...
Definitely not for us as a nation.
you mentioned different types of leadership. I think one of the things with Rach, right, is that she has leadership through her character. She'll be such a big loss just in terms of what a huge character she is around the place.
Yeah, definitely. I said it when Els and Jill retired, you know, two massive characters, two massive leaders. And when Els and Jill retired, it took us a time to adjust. It took us a long time to adjust because personally, I think characters like that are irreplaceable. I don't think you can replace people like that. And that's the beauty of the game. It brings so many different people together and so many different characters that everyone's so different. Els, you know her inside and out and the person that she is every single day. And do you know what it is with Rach? She's unintentional. Like, she doesn't probably, I don't think it maybe gets appreciated enough how much she actually does, because it's not like she's not going out of her way to do something. It's just who she is. And it's just, she was just like born to be on that stage. And even in training, she wouldn't set herself like a target, like, oh, I need to lead today, but she would naturally do it. It's just who she is and it's just a part of her game, like the energy that she brings, the level that she trains at, the intensity, the tackles, the vocal side. Like, it would be hard for her to be anything but that.
No, I definitely echo everything you said, Mel, and it kind of broke my heart a little bit because, especially for me and us and the memories that we've created together, not just on the pitch, but off the pitch, not just for England, but Team GB as well. The things that people don't see. And I think in particular for Rach, I don't think you understand unless you're in it and you see it and you live and breathe it every single day and who she is as a person and how loving and supportive, but then how on the pitch, how versatile she is and how willing she is to do absolutely anything to play for England, even if it's not her actual position, and be a 9 out of 10, which is just ridiculous.
Yeah, I agree. People don't see half and a quarter. Like, our warm-ups, like, we'd share a bag on match days. Like, we would go to breakfast. Like, honestly, Els, you know that we were literally attached at the hip, so I said to her, I'm going to have to get like a blow-up doll or something.
If you see a blow-up doll of Rachel, it's,
it's RD squared now. So, literally get a little blow-up doll. And I was like, what am I going to do in the warm-ups? Like, we'd do our little game and our little two-touch and passing. Yeah. And we had this thing where in the warm-ups, like, we'd always do left-foot passes. And she'd be like, I'm left-footed, me. I'm left-footed. Like, don't test my left foot. And it was so funny.
Is that what you'll miss the most?
Definitely. Yeah, I think for me, it's all off-pitch stuff. Like, even when Els was there, like, we were all attached at the hip. And honestly, you create friends for life. And it's like, it's moments that money can never buy. And, you know, you can never replace, and no one can ever step into those shoes again, and no one can ever kind of refill those memories. And we've got the best memories ever, like all the funny little moments that don't get spoken about, and they're just like your little core memories that are locked away and only you guys will get, like the inside joke. I think they're the best ones for me. But yeah, like, you think you go to training on England camp and then you might have gym, you might have recovery, and then the rest of the day you've got you've got time. So don't know who I'm going to make TikToks with. So Ellen left me. Now Rachel's left me. So it's me and Beth. So
you're nearly there though, Millie. Not long to go. When do we see you potentially back on that?
You're
on that
pit? Retirement then? Not... I was thinking, what are you saying, Ben?
Nearly there. You could be retired soon. No, you're nearly there in terms of playing again. You could be back out on that pitch soon. What are you targeting?
Hopefully, yeah. I think definitely. Well, I definitely want to make the end of the season. So it's so hard, like, as a player, like, you want to push, push, push. And that is me. Like, I want to go 0 to 100, but I have to respect my body and I have to respect the process in getting back. Yeah, I'm back in team training. So I just need to get some sessions in the bank. But Els knows me. I'll run through a brick wall to make sure I'm back for the end of the season. So that's definitely my aim. And then the rest is kind of out of my control. It's everyone's fighting for that position to be selected. So, yeah, we just have to put in the work now, hopefully get some games in and go from there.
Is it a similar feeling? You spoke a little bit there about Rach Daly's last camp. Do you have a similar feeling with Emma Hayes at the moment, that you want to be out there helping her in what is her final window at Chelsea?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a disaster for me this season because, you know, someone that's been at my whole Chelsea career, like, all I've ever known, and I've missed half the season, like, pretty much majority of it. I was like, this is, like, not how I wanted it to be either. Like, I want to be out there fighting and, yeah, kind of standing side by side and, yeah, making sure the last season together is the best it could be. And then, obviously, missed Rachel. I feel like it's a double whammy where I've kind of missed both occasions almost. So yeah, I think that's definitely been my motivation as well, is making sure I'm back out there before the end so that I can, you know, have some games with Em before she departs. So yeah, it really has been a terrible season on that front for me because it's like the worst time for my body to be like, nope. But we have to deal with it. And yeah, I definitely want to be out there on the grass fighting for her in, you know, the tough moments as well and sharing the good ones.
What does she mean to you, Mill, and obviously bringing you to Chelsea and what you've achieved together and grown as a person, and obviously her as a female role model and what she's done for women's football as well?
There's so many things. I think she's an icon in the game, which everybody knows, but on a personal level, like, just seeing the growth of the club first and foremost. When I first came, you was having a little bag of, you know, your lunch and that was it, and you'd take it home and you'd, you know, get in your car and drive home, and that was the day's work. Every single season, like, I think there's only, if I'm correct, there's only one season that we haven't lifted a trophy together. She really has been the best manager to have that appetite to compete and to drive. No matter how many times you win something, it means even more the next time. And I think off the pitch, she's really been like a life coach. I've experienced so many things off the pitch that no one really speaks about. And I don't really speak about those things anyway, but yeah, she's really taught me a lot, especially like the leadership sides as a human. And she just takes care of people. That's probably Em's biggest trait, is she takes care of the people in her environment. She fights for women on all fronts. She fights for our game, which I think is super special, not just for Chelsea, but for every other club in the women's game. But yeah, she's been phenomenal. And she's quite funny sometimes, so that helps as well.
Do you think that we're potentially seeing that at the moment with just the sheer volume of pressure that's on her right now?
Yeah, for sure. I don't think she'd be any other way. That's just Emma to a T, and she will always take the heat for the team. Just allow us just to focus on being the best footballers we can be and being the best people to one another, and then being the best team and representing the badge, the Chelsea badge, in the way that it deserves to be represented. And it's honestly wild, like the memories that we've had over the years, and yeah, the funny moments, the sad moments, the moments to learn and to grow, and to still be sat here today, still competing and still pushing to be the best. That's just all I've ever known. I don't know anything different.
She's unbelievably impressive as a speaker, and you see in press conferences that she gives that every journalist has to think 5 times about the question they're going to ask before they say it, because she's so sharp.
The last one got me, made me giggle. The journalist is like, okay, so I'm like, just move on. Like,
was this in the last press conference with the poem?
Yeah. I was like, oh, just move on to your next question. I don't think it was quite getting understood. So that is, like, she is funny. I'll give her that. She's so off the cuff, like, and that is, she's so just intelligent and smart and, like, witty. And, yeah, she's just a great character. Like, we definitely are serious, but we definitely, you know, have a good time whilst being serious. I hate to say it, but the Americans have gained a good one.
So when it comes to Champions League, are you almost compartmentalising this and being like, it's just crucial that Chelsea win this game, that it doesn't become, it's crucial that we win this game for Emma. It's like, we just got to stay focused.
Yeah, I don't think we do anything different. I just think you have that extra few percentages of drive. Like, if the game gets tough, which it most likely will be at some points, that you remember why you're doing what you're doing and who you're doing it for. But she'll always say, and I know she says it every day, you're not doing it for me, you're doing it for the club. And of course we do everything for the club and the badge and for each other, but no, Emma, we are also doing it for you. And I can proudly sit here and say that, and she can, you know, probably tell me the next day when she hears this that, no, we do it for the club, but we are doing it for the club, but you are part of the club.
Full coverage of those semi-finals on BBC Sounds. First leg this Saturday, 12:30, with Vicky Sparks and Pat Nevin on BBC Radio 5 Live. If it's all right, before we let you go, I feel like we've got to talk about you extracurricular-wise as well, because you're keeping yourself very busy. you're involved in some amazing charity work with Make-A-Wish and Different Minds. And then there is also the small matter of planning a wedding as well.
Oh my God, honestly, Levi is not much help at all. It's not good. Ellen, you have to do all yours yourself as well.
Yeah, I did. But to be fair, maybe Callum needs to speak to Levi, because when I asked him something, he just had an opinion. Thankfully, it was the one I wanted. so he just needs to answer yes or no.
Yeah, I'm struggling getting that. I literally keep saying, like, we're going to need to, like, book a couple of hours out and just sit down and go through things. Like, there's so much time. There's plenty of time. I was like, no, Levi, the months are going very quickly. We need to sit down and time is ticking. And I was like, have you thought of, like, your suit or anything? He's like, no. I was like, right, so I'm going to have to basically probe the questions so that I get an answer, so I can be like, right, this is your suit, and that's what you're wearing.
I went, we're going suit shopping. You're wearing a pink shirt, you're wearing a blue tie. And you can choose your pants and your socks.
Yeah, I'm not going to that level. You can definitely tell, but yeah, we're going to get the season out of the way, and I'm going to force him to spend a bit of time with his fiance and, you know, actually act interested in the wedding. So that'd be great.
And also, you're managing to squeeze in work with Make-A-Wish and Different Minds. Tell us a little bit about that as well.
Yeah, I think obviously giving back and doing good with my platform has always been a big part of kind of who I am. Obviously, I've been with Make-A-Wish for a couple of years now, which is a fantastic charity, and they do so much good. And yeah, I just think if you can ever give back a little bit, then why wouldn't you? You can literally change a kid's life doing that. And then I've recently, bizarrely, came across a TikTok, of course, the best place ever, TikTok. And I came across Different Minds, which is Kai and Nicole raising awareness for autism and ADHD. We had so many connections. And when I had my first conversation with them, I felt like I'd known them for years. Like, obviously, my nephew Vinny is autistic and ADHD, which we recently just found out, but we had to go private to make sure he got the support that he needed and just enable him to live life the way he wants to live and kind of help with some of those struggles that he has. And then Different Minds is basically, you know, they've started doing some merch which highlights autism and ADHD, but it doesn't label people. Yeah, it's all just about spreading the awareness and building a community where people feel they have a place to go and they feel supported. And when I first started putting some posts out that I was an ambassador for them, the amount of messages that I had saying from various people that they felt almost in the dark and alone, and that because they had either ADHD or autism, that they were, yeah, they had nowhere to turn to, or they had to hide it for so many years, or they didn't feel comfortable going to the local football team because of, you know, some of the things they would experience. So it was like a massive no-brainer for me to be on board and to make change and just to help spread that awareness. So we've got some very exciting big things coming this year. And I also think all the charities that I work with really connect, and Young Minds is another one that, you know, I'm due to have a conversation with, and I think they all interlink and I think they can all be very powerful together. But yeah, charity work for me is, it's more than just like saying, oh, I'm doing it for charity. Like, it's actually being, you know, involved and at the forefront of you know, fighting the battles that some people have to go through that they shouldn't. So I'm super proud to be on board. And yeah, I can't wait to get my t-shirts, and you will absolutely be seeing them all over social media, me rocking around, you know, proud to be a part of that. And I also want to send a message to my nephew and to all the other people that experience those things, is be proud of who you are. We all have our differences, and having ADHD and autism is just a difference. People's minds work in different ways. So I think it's a really good message that they're sending out there to, yeah, really embrace who you are, be confident, and you shouldn't be dismissed just because we have differences.
It's really special that you speak so passionately about it, Millie, but also, I mean, I've seen you do these things for being involved in charitable projects or good initiatives for years. I can remember one of the first things, interviews that you and I did together, was you going back to visit your old school.
Yeah.
And this was kind of like 8 years ago. It must be so nice knowing that even though you're consistent with your messaging and what you're trying to do, as the platform grows and the women's game grows, the impact that you can have grows as well.
Yeah, 100%. And even knowing that there's people out there that you can still go on and be a professional athlete if you, you know, have ADHD, for example, like, you don't need to be dismissed and you don't need to be shut down of your opportunities just because you are different. Like, you should still have the equal playing field to go on, and we should just accommodate in a different way to allow people to go on and be whatever they want to be and be successful. And I think also there's just so much going on in the world. Like, I just think if everyone made that 5% effort to make a difference and to raise somebody up, you know, we would all be in a better place, and surely you would go to sleep at night a hell of a lot better knowing that you've done a small good thing. But Kai and Nicole are unbelievable people. Like, listening to their story was quite touching, actually, and then being able to compare to Vinny's journey and the journey that we've had to go through. And I don't even think it's just the kids, but it's the parents and what I've had to see my sister go through. And so, yeah, I really want to make sure that he's proud of who he is, because at the start, and I know she won't mind me talking on this, but he wasn't. He was like, I'm not different, I don't have that. And it was a real, like, negative thing. And it took us a while to get him to be okay with it. And it's hard. Like, it's hard for a kid to have to go through that change and, yeah, understand who they are as a person, but then not be ashamed of it.
You have to keep those eyes peeled on your social media, right?
Yeah, please like and share. And if you want to get involved, just message me.
Absolutely. Millie, you've been such wonderful company. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks and for having me, guys.
We can't wait to see you back out there. Good luck this weekend and on Wednesday night as well. Fingers crossed there are.
Thanks, guys.
No side effects from you being back out on that pitch and you're in a Chelsea shirt again very, very soon. And commentary of both semi-final legs will be on BBC Sounds. First leg this Saturday, 12:30, live commentary with Vicky Sparks and Pat Nevin on BBC Radio 5 Live. And lots of important fixtures to come in the WSL. We mentioned Chelsea against Villa in midweek, but also we've got on Friday night, Brighton and Hove Albion take on Everton at 7 o'clock. On Saturday, it's Bristol City against Liverpool at 12:30. And then on Sunday, three huge games. Man United against Spurs in a trial run of that FA Cup final at midday. Arsenal versus Leicester City at 2 o'clock. And then Man City against West Ham United at 2:15. You can get all of the highlights on the Women's Football Show at 11:55 on Sunday evening. Just remains to say thank you so much to Ellen. Get that practice in for Soccer Aid. And thank you to Millie. And thank you to Martha. Thanks so much for listening. Don't forget to subscribe to the Football Daily feed on BBC Sound so you never miss an episode. And if you want to get in touch with us, it's footballdaily@bbc.co.uk. On the next episode, Mark Chapman will be here with all of the quarterfinal Champions League reaction.
I'm Mark Chapman. Welcome to the Planet Premier League podcast. Each week, Cesc Fabregas, Nader Manua and myself talk all things Premier League.
As a player, you don't have time to talk.
No.
You don't have time to make a plan. You just need to deal with wave after wave after wave.
We watched Coach Carter and he said, oh, afterwards, the game's just about doing this for your teammates. And I remember looking around halfway through the film and half the squad was asleep.
Planet Premier League. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.